This is Wisconsin Public Radio on NPR One.
40 years ago, the SS Edmund Fitzgerald sank in Lake Superior, around 15 miles off the coast of Whitefish Point. All 29 crew members were lost, but their stories live on. As Danielle Kading reports, family members and historians gathered in Duluth this past weekend to share memories and lessons from its fateful journey.
The SS Edmund Fitzgerald left Superior on November 9th for a steel mill in Detroit. The next morning, Jack Borgeson remembers his mother brushing his sister's hair in front of the TV when news came on of the ship's sinking.
In the moment, as I was arguing with my sister about one thing or another, we heard my mother scream, a look of shock on her face, and she just said, you know, you lost your daddy.
His father was Thomas Dale Borgeson, a member of the Fitz maintenance crew. Pam Johnson also lost her father, Robert Rafferty, who was a fill-in cook. She remembers her father didn't want to go.
Actually, he asked to be taken off. Red Bergner was the cook on there for 10 years he'd been. And they called Red and said, would you like to come back? And he said, oh, no. He used other language and said, I'm not going back on there. I'm pulling rank. Rafferty's already on there. Let him finish it off. It's not that he wanted to. It was just he's making a living for his family.
Maritime historian and Fitz author Fred Stonehouse says sailing is just a job for many, like the ship's 29 crewmen, but a dangerous one at that. Stonehouse says 7,500 ships have sunk in the Great Lakes, taking 30,000 lives with them.
As we watch these vessels leave the harbor here and heading out through the canal, we need to recognize that. And it's not just when the gales in November are here. It literally is all of the time. The danger is always there, and fate is always the hunter.
A danger, Stonehouse says, Bernie Cooper was keenly aware of that night. Cooper was the captain of the SS Arthur M. Anderson, the last ship to have contact with the Fitzgerald and the first on the scene to search for survivors.
But when he told his crew, one of the assistant cooks came into the pilot house and said, Cap, are we really going to go? Yeah, but we're going to go. Well, I'll be back in 10 minutes. Fellow would come back 10 minutes later with a mayonnaise jar. And in that mayonnaise jar was a cassette tape. And there were 2,000 wraps of masking tape around that jar to make it waterproof. And he gave it to Cooper, and he said, Cap, if it looks like we're going down, would you throw this overboard? This is my last will. That was the thought that a lot of those guys had as Anderson went back out to look.
The Anderson wasn't the only ship to brave high winds and waves up to 30 feet or more. Historian and Great Lakes shipwreck diver Rick Mixter credits the crew of the Coast Guard vessel Woodrush for heading into the storm to rescue any survivors.
The people that boarded the Woodrush here to sail all the way across Lake Superior to pick up who could have survived that tragedy there. These people stand on guard today in airplanes and in ships. People that jump into that icy cold water to save them. I think more about those people who dedicate themselves to those that will protect those sailors that make those choices.
The first time Pam Johnson ever saw Lake Superior, she says she was impressed with its size and beauty and the connection she felt to her father.
He was just 17 miles away. People ask, how do I feel about seeing the lake? And I try not to go to an ugly place in my mind. I want to believe that my father is laying in his bed and he's all warm and the blankets are over him and he's with God now and him sleeping in bed just makes it all right with me.
Now, 40 years later, the Edmund Fitzgerald remains a legend and a symbol of all the shipwrecks and crew members who have lost their lives on the Great Lakes. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio in Duluth.
About seeing the lake, and I try not to go to an ugly